Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of United We Fall. Today, we will continue with our critique of what Imam Omar Sleiman stated in his answer to the question of Pastor Kevin Singer concerning religious freedom. In the dialogue which took place in North Carolina University between Pastor J.D. Greer and Imam Omar Sleiman, how much and how difficult it is for Muslims in America to survive with the persecution of the Americans, to be able to enjoy the worship of Islam and practice the teaching and the ideology of Islam in America. First, Pastor J.D. Greer answered this question, and there he actually gave the Muslims a green light to allow them to say whatever they want. He emphasized that secularism is growing in America, and because of that, the Christians and the Muslims alike are persecuted. But once again, he emphasized that Muslims are more persecuted in America than the Christians. Pastor J.D. Greer did not do any good for the church or for America. He actually threw all of us under the bus to appease and please the Muslims, lying. And I say it again, lying, because as you know, since September 11 until today, Muslims are playing that game of being victims in America. But in reality, it is Americans are victims of Islam after the Muslims, who were literally hijacked by the ideology of so-called holy books. Now let's continue a little bit more with the lies of Imam Omar Sleiman as he continued and stated.
And of course, there's a great book, you know, Dr. Asma'uddin wrote, we were at the Aspen Institute, When Islam is Not a Religion, that some people have tried to even undermine Islam's claim to religious freedom by claiming it's not really a religion, it's a political ideology. And so we could see what could happen with that.
I wish I had the time to read that book of Dr. Asma'uddin, which is titled When Islam is Not a Religion. What is the truth about Muslims' claim to follow a religion by the name Islam? It is very important for us to know that when you study the so-called holy books of Islam, these are the word of Allah, the Quran, and the saying of Muhammad, which is known as the Hadith. As we examine the life of Muhammad in his Sunnah, we will find that there is some religion there. The percentage of the religion in Islam is less than 20%, but over 80% in Islam is just simply politics, rules, laws, regulations. Here is what you do here, and here is what you do there. Here is the punishment if you do it, and here is the punishment if you do not do it. It is Sharia, Islamic law. So I cannot say Islam is not a religion, because it has some religion in it. But even that religion of Islam is a savage religion. It is not a religion to teach love or peace, or encourage Muslims to have a relationship with others who are not Muslims. That's why you will never see Muslims assimilate in any society, unless they're practicing taqiyya. That is by pretending to be friends and peaceful people. So I do not know what Asma'uddin wrote in that book, and maybe someday we can find that book and read it, and we'll do another study on it. But for now, where is the freedom of religion in Islam? We got the book. I mean, why can't Imam Omar open the Quran and open the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith and share with us about that freedom of religion? We're not claiming that in Islam there is no freedom of religion, but we know for sure, without any doubt, that there is no freedom of religion in Islam. And the answer is, just read the Quran. Just read the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith. And here, let me share with you some proofs of that. We know for sure that Islam is a savage cult, just when we talk about freedom of religion. When we say, in America, we have freedom of religion, it means that people can worship however they wish. They can be a Christian, they can be a Jew, they can be a Muslim, they can be an atheist, or make whatever god of whatever shape or form to worship at their convenience. That is freedom of religion. Now, if you are growing in a Christian family and you would like to leave Christianity and say become a Muslim or become a Jew, you can do that. Why? Because this is freedom of religion. Let's talk about Islam and freedom of religion. In the book of Reliance of the Traveler, in 08.0, listen carefully now. This is the book which Imam Omar Sliman studied when he went to school. That's why he has a degree in Sharia. It says here, leaving Islam is the ugliest form of unbelief and the worst. In 08.1, we read, when a person who has reached puberty and is sane, that means he's not crazy, voluntarily apostatized from Islam, he deserves to be killed. Well, maybe someone will just say, this is a law made up by some radical Muslims. No. That is the teaching of the Quran. The Reliance of the Traveler is the book of Sharia, which is approved by the Azhar University. Every Muslim imam, including the one you're going to see in some liberal church in your neighborhood coming up soon here in these interfaith meetings or dialogue meetings, love your Muslim neighbor meetings, whatever meetings they call out there, they all know what I'm talking about. The problem is the Americans and the liberal church in America and the liberal leaders in America do not have a clue what I'm talking about. Now, what happened if a Muslim leaves Islam? The Quran teach, فَلْيَمُتْ وَهُوَ Kafir. He must be brought to death as an infidel. What happened when people left Islam after Muhammad died? Abu Bakr Siddiq, the first successor, killed all of those who apostate. This is the first civil war the Muslims have ever seen. It is called the War of Apostasy. Why? Because that is Islam. You cannot leave Islam and continue to live. They actually give you 3 days to revert Islam. Yes, indeed. The right word is revert, means come back to Islam. If not, they will put you to death. This is the true nature of Islam. So the question, once again, here to Imam Omar Sliman, what happened if some family in your mosque or a member in your mosque decided next week to become a Christian? Will you let him enjoy the freedom of religion which you are talking about here? Or will you issue a decree for his death? I know, in America, we're not going to kill Muslims who leave Islam, but wait until Muslims in America will have the upper hand. When they practice Sharia fully, they will kill anyone who will leave Islam. And notice here that the same book of Sharia, the words of Allah in the Quran, and the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith, which force the Muslims to kill their own for leaving Islam, it's also force the non-Muslims to convert to Islam. This is exactly why Muhammad said in the Hadith, he was commanded by Allah to engage in war with people. Which people? All the people of the earth. Those who did not say the Shahada, those who did not convert Islam. Muhammad was commanded by Allah to engage in war with people until they say, we bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This is the reality of how Islam spread. It did not spread because of freedom of religion, but it spread by the edge of the sword. That's how Muhammad and early Muslims were able to bring Islam to 57 Muslim countries. And it is by the same laws as we just mentioned a few seconds ago, Islam continued to exist. You leave Islam, you are dead. Where is that freedom of religion, Imam Omar Sliman? And you're upset because here in America, we don't want to include you in our discussion about freedom of religion? You are the end of the freedom of religion. If you will have it your way, 20 years from now, America will have to face the reality of the final word of Allah, Quran chapter 9, verse 5, which is they will be killed, taken as captives and slaves, or to convert to Islam. Believe it or not, there is no freedom of religion in Islam, even for the Muslims who are not desiring to fulfill their duty of Islam. Imagine with me, if a Muslim say, I'm a Muslim, but I don't want to pray 5 times a day. Well, the punishment, according to the word of Allah, Quran chapter 9, verse 5, not only they repent, that is to convert Islam, but perform the prayers. Abu Bakr Siddiq forced believers after Muhammad's death to pray, that is 5 times a day. So in Islam, you do not have the choice of skipping prayers. You must pray every day. It's not like I don't feel like praying. You must pray. How about giving zakat? That is the charity, the 2.5% of their income. The same verse, 9:5 said, and give the legal alms. If Muslims will not give the legal alms, they will be put to death. Imagine with me, you go to your church next Sunday, and the preacher will say, for all those Christians who are not going to join us from now on, in our every prayer meeting, we will kill them. And by the way, you better bring your tithes with you, because if not, we will kill you too. Can you imagine this with me? But that is how Islam has been practiced, and that's how Muslims will practice Islam in America. Yes, indeed, in a city near you, just give them enough time to have the upper hand, and they will practice Islam in full here in America. These are just a couple examples to show you that in Islam, there is no freedom of religion. And this hogwash talk of Imam Omar Suleiman, there is no truth whatsoever.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
And for those skeptics who may think I'm just making this up, well, it's very simple. Why didn't you just make a trip to some Muslim country and see how Muslims are treated? Even if you go to the moderate country of Egypt, you'll find that thousands of Muslims are in prison. You know why? Because the government are protecting them. From who? From the Muslims. Why? Because they commit the sin of apostasy. And that is the reality. Many Muslims, when they leave Islam, they're put to death. And you can see this happen openly in Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Indonesia, Bangladesh, and many of the large majority of Muslim countries who practice Sharia in full. But sadly, even those who go to prisons, like in the case of Egypt, many of them die slowly in prison. Well, let's move on with the next statement of Imam Omar Suleiman. That is when he said,
Are Muslims concerned? Absolutely, absolutely. Because if you think about what's happening right now in places like China with the Uyghurs, this took time, right? That generating of hatred towards the Muslim population. And by all means, we are not the only religiously persecuted minority. There are persecuted Christians. You know, for God's sake, it's terrifying to be a Jew in America right now with the rise of anti-Semitism again.
Wow. I heard from the Muslim imam more than what I heard from the Christian preacher. He's telling us about the Chinese who are persecuting the Muslims. We know that 2 or 3 million are right now in some camps in China. But did the preacher, Pastor J.D. Greer, talked about the hundreds of thousands of Christians who are in prison in all over the world and they're persecuted for being a Christian? No, he did not talk about that. He talked about the Muslims who are persecuted in America, but he forgot to talk about the true Christian persecution of all the Christians in the world. Amazingly, Imam Omar Suleiman is telling us that, yes, there are Christians who are persecuted.
Oh,
by who? Why not give me the name of the people who are persecuting the Christians? And I'm not talking about persecution to give them hard time. I'm talking about persecution of burning their churches. I'm talking about the persecution of killing their men. And by the way, when they burn churches in countries like in Nigeria by Boko Haram, one of your Muslim sisters' organization, they love to burn churches on Sundays. You know why? Because that's when they burn the church and the Christians alive in it while they're committing what is forbidden, which is the worship of Jesus Christ. Go to Quran 9:29. For Allah, your God, sir, ordered the Muslim believers to engage in war with those who do not forbid what Allah and His Messenger forbid. That is the forbidding of worshiping Jesus Christ as God. That is the worst sin a person can ever commit, the sin of shirk. To partner Jesus with God is the worst sin any human can ever commit. And it is unforgiven sin. And the punishment of it is for Muslims to wipe out such people, as stated by your friend Imam Yasser Qadhi. But let's continue here with the next step, because it's very important. Not only Christians are persecuted, but then he said, for God's sake, even the Jewish people are persecuted. Wow, it is terrifying to be a Jew in America right now. Excuse me, you mean Jewish people are more persecuted in America than Jewish people in the Muslim world? How about Muslims who are persecuted in their own home country by your own people, the Palestinians, whom you believe in what they're doing 100%? If we can just open your mind or open your heart to see how much you hate the Jewish people, you, as all Palestinians, hate Israel more than you hate anything in the world. But here we go. The man who loved to see the last Jew is dead, pretending in this dialogue meeting that he really cares so much about the Jewish people, those who are living here with us in America. Why? Because we have a problem with the rise of anti-Semitism here in America. Wow, America is a very evil place. Pastor J.D. Greer told us that here in America, we are persecuting the Muslims. And Imam Omar Suleiman is telling us that here in America, we're persecuting the Jews. So I do not know what good is left in America. But when you understand the real Islam, you see that America is a perfect place for Christians and Jews because of the true freedom of religion which we have here in America. And sadly, if Muslims will take over America, America will be no different than Saudi Arabia or Egypt. As we listen, Imam Omar Suleiman, who's speaking very nicely about the persecuted Jews here in America, here is what he really believes. Muhammad taught him that the day of judgment will not come until the Muslims kill the last Jew. Not some of the Jewish people, but physically, literally, the last Jew. That's why I said earlier that Imam Omar Suleiman hates even the existence of one Jew on planet Earth. Listen to the words of the Apostle of Allah, the Prophet of Peace and Love. He said that even the rock and the trees will cry out, O Muslim faithful, not O Muslim radical, not O Muslim extremist, O Muslim faithful, there is a Jew is hiding behind me. Come and give him a hug. No, come and give him a kiss on the cheek. No, come and behead him. The language of hate is all over the Quran towards the Jews and the Christian, beginning from chapter 1. I wish if somebody would ask Imam Omar to read chapter 1 of the Quran and teach the audience of Pastor J.D. Greer about what he says in his prayer. Because when you understand the first chapter of the Quran, you will see that Muslims repeat these words, as I said before, 17 times a day. And in it, they say to Allah, guide us to the straight way, that is Islam. The straight way of those whom you have graced, these are the Muslims. Not those whom your wrath or your anger is against, these are the Jews, nor the lost ones, and those are the Christians. You see, Imam Omar Suleiman is a big hogwash talker, and he knows exactly how to make you cry if you just sit and listen to him. The Christians are persecuted. And the Jews are persecuted, even here in America. And the Muslims are persecuted in China. We all need to get together. We all must be united, because that's the only way we can end the persecution of religious groups. That's the only way we can enjoy the freedom of religion, not realizing he's actually using the Christians of America, including now the Southern Baptist church as useful idiots to take America with their help. Let me repeat again what I said earlier in our study. Imam Omar Suleiman cannot take over America and will not take over America with whatever help he can get from anywhere around the world. Even militarily, the Muslims cannot take over America. The only way they can take over America is when we give them America. How do you think the American people will give the Muslims America? The Muslims must convince the Americans that Islam is not what Islam is. So how are we going to do that? We're going to have meetings all over this country. And through this meeting, we're going to present this brand new Islam for the West. And Muslims are succeeding to do this with liberals all over America. So what do they need? They need one more church, one more group. The conservatives, the evangelicals, the Southern Baptists. This is exactly what Imam Yasser Qadhi told us when we did our study about interfaith movement in America. He said, we Muslims and you conservative Christians, evangelical Christians, are persecuted. And we need to get together and we need to be united. Imam Yasser told us that he have no problem to talk and minister to the liberal churches. And he needed to have the same unity with the conservatives. And here we go. Less than a couple years later, we see Imam Omar Suleiman working with the Southern Baptist Church. I'm ashamed of myself to be a Southern Baptist, to hear and to see what the leaders of my denomination are doing. They do not know what they're doing. They think if we love the Muslim enough and by doing these meetings, we can lead them to Christ. But what they do not realize is that they are used by the Muslims of America to take over America. That is the great deception of all. America would be destroyed from within by the Muslims who live in America simply because the American people do not know the truth about Islam. And to continue our study off, United we fall. Please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.